And welcome to episode 27 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Surrey on the Budget. And I'm joined tonight by my co-host, a man who was said to be behind the 2005 breakup between Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston after some candid photography came to light of him and one of the interested parties. I'll let you decide which one it was. It's Russ from Scotland Surrey. Russ, how are you tonight, sir?
I'll get over you. I know I will, because I'm the king of wishful thinking.
Did Brad at least hug you afterwards? That's all I've got to ask.
He did after I sung that to him.
Just a wee hug. Just snuggled into him. Now, happy days.
And he's Adam Pitt, funnily Adam enough.
Oh, Russ in the pit. God almighty, what's going on here? You could tell we're tired and cranky tonight, just full of nonsense. So this could be a very interesting episode. Let's just crack straight into our game weeks last week, Russ, after the preamble of you and celebrity males. How was your game week, Russ? What did you get?
Probably nothing. I don't even know if I logged into Surrey very often. It was, you know what? It's the same for everybody. International game weeks. I think, what did it cover? Three? Was it three game weeks there?
Yeah, it's been a while. Been too
it's
long.
Been a while. I have a team running this game week, which has five players and a playing goalkeeper. It has four people from the Brazilian league playing tonight. And Carlos Soler got amazingly some game time. And I think he posted a 54 or a 56 score there. So, do you know what? This game week, there's a little bit of interest. The weekend and the previous, I just didn't have an awful lot happening. And I think that was pretty much for, it felt on Twitter and Facebook, certainly about 85 to 90% of the Surrey community were in the same boat. Is that right?
Yeah, it was fairly dire. I was lucky. I obviously had picked up the Spanish lads and what have you. And I got the lower ETH. I had a DNP. Which was actually a player that I sold just shortly after the deadline. So the difference in that was probably, I think I made about 30-odd quid profit on him. So at the end of the day, it kind of covered the other part of the threshold payment. So it was okay. Star performer for me, once again, was Sinan Bakis. He had, Russ, that he has now had goals or an assist in the 93rd, the 96th, and the 98th minute in consecutive games. It's been quite, he loves injury time, apparently. If he could just do it a wee bit earlier, it might be a wee bit easier on me when I'm trying to, you know, figure out if I'm actually going to catch the ETH or not. But yeah, it was fairly decent. But I did pick up a few players. But I did notice, I've obviously been having a nosy, Russ, at your gallery and seen quite a few comings and goings. So do you want to kind of talk through those, as opposed to, obviously, we've got very little to talk about in terms of game week, so.
Yeah, just, okay, so strategy, looking at it in quite a bit of depth. It's been one of these ongoing for the podcast listeners, as they know, and this was the week that I really wanted to get the players in. I was sat with, I think it was maybe about 1.5 ETH, which is a lot, but that was based on player sales and a small deposit. And as you know, that's the first time I've deposited into the platform for, it'll be over a year, well over a year. And what I wanted to do, my objective here was to ensure that my MLS stack of the Philadelphia lads was covered with a goalkeeper. And I had Eloy Room from Columbus Crew. And quite simply, I just wasn't 100% sure if they were going to make the playoffs and if they did make it, how far they would get. I am quite confident on Philadelphia Union, which is my stack, which I've built. It's not been mega expensive. It has increased in value quite considerably, obviously, since I bought it. But the objective here was, right, I need a goalkeeper that's going to last for the duration of however long they are. Now, wait and see, they'll probably get knocked out. First stage knowing my luck after all this. But if they don't, and say for example they do get to the playoff finals, I've got Cassio from Corinthians that I signed, and I think I just was putting him in just at the time of the last pod. I've brought in since then some pretty good challenger players for midweek. So what I did was I did an exercise. I wrote every team out that were in the game for the Champions League, the Europa League and the Conference League. And I first and foremost looked at all the keepers. And in truth, all the keepers were coming in at roughly one ETH. So I wasn't sure what to do, but I thought, you know what, I still want to build a stack. And I noticed a couple of my goalkeepers actually had some midweek league games as well that weren't in Europe. So I thought, right, you know what, I can roll with this. I should be in a relatively strong position. And what I've done is I've bought a couple of guys from PSV. So Armin de Bispo, who I sold in the summer, disgracefully underpriced. I sold him at... he'd been out injured for quite some time. I bought him for probably around about 0.1. I sold him for about 0.15 in, I think it was June or July. He obviously was a DNP still back then. I wasn't sure if he was going to get back in. He's come back in with vengeance, playing really well, massive scores, under 23. So I bought him back. I bought Gus Thiel as well. I bought Steph Peters to give myself a bit of cover. I bought a Ryan Edwards super rare for my all-star rare stack. Mm-hmm. And then to finish complimenting it, I thought I'll buy, this guy's a bit of a, it's a bit of a gamble. So Jordi Vertessen. Now, I actually seen him play when Belgium played Scotland under-21s at Tannadice. So I seen Vertessen and I thought he was actually quite good when he was on the park. Ewood Blatinch was in, was captaining the young Belgian side in that game and he played quite well. And there was a couple others that kind of caught the eye in that game. So Vertessen, he's been injured. He's had abdominal injuries, just going by the research that I've done, and he's just come back. It could be a lineup killer, to be honest with you, but also I'm kind of hoping that I just get a bit of good fortune and he comes back with a bit of vengeance and starts putting in some decent scores. So ultimately, I've sorted what you would class as a global team for all the midweeks of the European competitions up until the split, basically. Now, I went back to it and looked and thought, do you know what? I could maybe look at a cheaper keeper. Cheaper keeper, that's a nice cheaper rhyme, isn't
keeper, it? I like
cheaper
that.
Keeper. However, I've signed Sergio Bat, who has one of these big blue crosses, and he's not from Debenhams. Ooh. He's not having a sale. However, Sergio Bat at Ludogorets is the number one. There was a wee bit of talk just over the summer that he might return to the Eredivisie. However, the Dutch goalkeeper, he's clearly their number one. He's been pretty much ever present, I think, since he joined there. And Ludogorets in the Europa League they played and beat Roma, which probably was quite a surprising result. And they narrowly lost to Real Betis. 3-2, I think it was the final score. So they've got HJK, if I put my teeth in. They've got them twice, and I think they'll beat them home and away, which will be a further 6 points. And I've got a feeling that they're probably, at a bare minimum, going to get the third place, which means they would drop into the Conference League. So I'm kind of hopeful that I get quite a bit of utility, at least another sort of 5-6 game weeks. And I think there'll be still a lot of people playing those game weeks, but I think there'll be a lot of people who'll be playing with four cards, hoping for threshold as opposed to challenging for the prizes.
Seems fair, yeah. To assume
so that was the strategy around it. There was a few obviously high profile departures. My much loved Igor Akinfeev card has gone, purely based on the Russian break just being too long to sit on a big card. And I know that that's something that I think you're looking at as well. So, yeah, there's been a lot of movement in my gallery. I'm really pleased with the movement. And I've got probably one more piece of the puzzle to kind of give myself a bit of a settled gallery, hopefully, for the next couple of weeks and see how this lot actually does. Because I've been building it for about 4, 5, 6 weeks now. And it was always built with a view to the run-in of the up to the World Cup from the international break, and all bar two pieces really realistically are in. And I've now got the ETH from a sale of an American under-23 keeper tonight to complete the job. How about you?
I've had a fair few comings and goings, but just before we come to me, what are you looking for the final piece in terms of position or or league or anything like that? I don't want to say a player in mind because you're always mindful of the prices.
No, there's my gallery, basically all it needs. I need a global striker. I'm probably one global striker short. I'm down to, just from a card count perspective, as I say, I'm down to 73 rare now. And I know that's a lot. That's a lot of cards. And I know it's a lot of cards. There'll be guys on here listening going, 73 rare? Do you know what I mean? I've got 10 or I've got 15. However, I've obviously been bringing down the quantity quite considerably from having that 160-odd cards 3 or 4 months ago. I've got 10 super rare, but they're not expensive super rare. They're not, you know, Billy Big Balls. I'm spending one ETH on a super rare. These are all guys that I'm picking up thinking, you know what, these guys could increase in value if they go on a run.
Yeah.
It's what you would call serious, low, Serrera. It's like you, Serrera on a budget, super rare.
Yeah.
I'm not in a position to be spending even sort of 0.6, 0.7 on super rares. Probably the most success I've had is I've had the guy Sven Mishnins at Sparta, and I picked him up for 0.2. And I think realistically, he's probably worth about 0.5 now because he's playing well and he is good for an assist or a goal. That's my objective with these blue super rares is to hopefully win one or two cards. And the two positions, as I say, that I'm needing, I'm a global striker short because I want to use, I signed Jackson Muleka again, which, you know, one of my love childs in the game. I'd signed him back from under-23s because I felt my under-23 team was good, but it was lacking an out-and-out quality striker. I had some strikers that are good prospects, and I've got, you know, the guy Noslin at Fortuna. I had another couple of sort of Jupiler strikers, and sometimes they're great and sometimes they're not, but I needed somebody that was more consistent in the greens, where I'm pretty much 3 out of 4 weeks in a month, they're scoring high green scores. And Jackson Muleka is one of those men. I also have Michel Balakwisha, who has been injured. And he was another one that was, you know, really, really highly rated. But I was also mindful that Julian Carranza, my final under-23 striker, I've got him in my Philadelphia stack, and that's where I'm using him. And yeah, I'd be stupid to use him, you know, in under-23s, because then I'd need to go and buy an American striker. So that's the position I'm in. I definitely need a striker, and I could put up quite a strong sort of sixth team in the game if I probably get another challenger goalkeeper. So the departure, obviously, last week was Eloy Room departed in the goal. Igor Akinfeev departed, both again because of the breaks that are coming up. And I sold John Poolscamp, under-23 goalkeeper.
Yeah.
However, there's quite a few keepers came in. I got Menzel, obviously, just on last week's pod, I think it was. Sergio Pats obviously come in there as well. And then yesterday I signed Gaëtan Kuki. So that's, you know, I'm looking at trying to get Belgium, obviously, is back. You mentioned obviously the returning game weeks and the sort of the timelines for the leagues.
Yeah.
And Belgium was one of the ones that was just more favourable than Austria and Russia. And it's just trying to be, I think we're all trying to do it, but it's just trying to be smart so that you're actually, you know, if you've invested in this game, you're actually playing it as often as you can.
Yeah, completely, completely. And just from that token, Russ, just look at having a wee nose at mine, I'm in a similar boat. I was basically looking at trying to see what games I had. I've got all my matchup, or all the players that I've got in my gallery, I've got them all followed in SofaScore as well as the clubs. So I'm able to, at a glance, have a look at the fixtures for the next kind of 4 weeks and just see where I'm at. So I did happen to notice, because obviously the games that were cancelled the weekend of the Queen passing, they've kind of been staggered a little bit. So there's two, for example, next midweek there. So you've got, let me have a look here, I've got it back up here. Yeah, so I've got Ross County are playing against Motherwell, Kilmarnock are playing against St Johnstone, but also QPR are playing as well. So that gives me 4 outfield players. I don't have a goalkeeper, but I've got 4 outfield players that I could easily put into a team. And, you know, I'd have to maybe get a wee bit lucky, as you always need to with 4 players, but I could possibly pull out some ETH in the midweek there. And then looking ahead beyond that, there's the following midweek, I've got all the Spanish teams playing in midweek, so I could put out a full team into those. So yeah, I was doing a wee bit of Trying to improve things. I had a big sale yesterday. I'd signed at the weekend when the auctions were going through. I got the Malaga striker, Fran Sol, and played every game this season. Got to this weekend, substitute. It's like, oh well, cool. He was up for sale. To be honest, I've got everything listed at the moment because I'm trying to keep things fluid. You know, I want to constantly be like, okay, I'll take the extra profit off that and I'll buy the cheaper ones. I've gone back to basics. And to be honest, Russ, I've actually added 0.2 to my gallery value in the last 10 days. Mm-hmm. And that's been through, you know, that's not including the goalkeeper. That's excluding the goalkeeper, you know, increasing in price and what have you. But it has just been doing that, buying players, selling them before the game week happens. So yeah, that's kind of where I've been at, is trying to, you know, improve the Spaniards so that I've got a good team for over the winter. I'm also conscious that I don't want to sink all of my ETH into there because I'm obviously fully expecting Serie B to be launched. And that will then open up the second league that's going to be playing over the winter. So I can then start to pick up players from there. And then obviously today, when Serie A launched the rewards pools for the next few game weeks, they also launched the fact that it's going to be on game week 3-1-2, which is next weekend, that the second division league is going to be launching at that point. So that was where I'd actually said I was going to probably put my team into. Now, it's going to really depend on how many people are entering. I might sit and wait on that decision until late next week, probably podcast time, if I'm being honest, because I'll want to see how many people are playing it, because there is a paltry 75 rewards in the rare version of that league. There's a couple hundred in the limiteds and what have you, but 75 seems a bit light, you know, when they are launching these new leagues. However, the launch of the Spanish one, as we spoke about a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the, you know, the speed of the auctions, man, it's really slow. It's really slow. We're only back into the letter. I think we're into, is it A's that we're in just now? Let me just double check. No, we're into C's. And this is only the second time round, and these have been out for a week now. So they are going round very, very slowly. There is few cards. And I guess obviously as more cards come out into the game, going by Serie's own criteria, and there being more cards available to use, that the prize pools should increase in theory. But as it stands, I might stick to Challenger for next week and, you know, look at the, you know, the second division as things progress, basically. But I did pick up a big player today, Braden Manu. I kind of stumbled across him purely by accident. I was looking at the auctions that were upcoming and I'd filtered it down to the second division teams, and he was set to finish fairly soon. And he's on a last five of 57. So I thought, go and have a quick look, see what he's doing. And he's listed as a midfielder card, and he's played all nine games this season as a striker. And he's got 3 goals and 3 assists in those 9 games. So his last 4 scores are all greens. They're like 60, 62s and what have you. And he's got 40 to fall off this weekend. So all I'm really looking for is them, you know, to probably get another green score, boost his average up, and he'll be out the door. You know, he'll be out the door with the rest of the boys. But I picked him up. He was quite expensive. He's 0.14, 146, I think it was, about 180 quid. Quite expensive, but in my view, the scores he was getting, they were kind of similar to like Zinedinov that I had. However, the one downside is his all-around scores are fairly negligible. He's kind of all or nothing. But he has had 5 games this season where he's had those decisives in them. So it's only been a few games where he's had, you know, kind of in the 30s or early 40s for the scores. So I feel quite good about getting him. Whether he's still in the gallery at game time, Russ, as you've liked to tease me about, is another question. If somebody comes in with an offer for him, he'll be gone and there'll be somebody else in his place. Like I say, I did pick up an extra Scottish player. I picked up Dre Wright. There was a post on the St Johnstone page today, Russ. It popped up on my timeline on Twitter, and it said something along the line of, it was like caption contest, like, you know, what's happening here? And it was Ryan McGowan. It's Ryan McGowan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Australian lad, yeah.
Yeah.
It was him laughing with two other boys, and they were kind of celebrating sort of thing. So I put a tagline of, he said we were going to get the record lowest points in SPL history, and now he's got 3 of our players in his gallery. So yeah, Dre Wright, Nicky Clark and Andy Considine all grace my gallery now. So they're obviously visiting your Dundee United team at the weekend. So I've got Nicky Clark in my challenger team. I haven't quite captained them yet. I'm tempted because I just feel him going back to Tannadice. There's a goal in the air there, Russ.
Oh, it's written in the stars. It's written in the stars.
After being fucked about, let's be honest, not getting a game in a team that weren't scoring goals, he goes along the road, 20 miles to Perth, and scores on his debut because he's getting a game and a wee bit of service. So, and he had chances last game there as well. So he's getting supply. They have got the wingers there to give him the supply. So, hey, let's see what happens as it goes. But yeah, I picked up a couple there, and I've done what I like to do, Russ. I've got a defender from Cartagena to go with my goalkeeper, because I do like that, because, yeah, I know you're going to get penalised a bit more for it just now, because, you know, when they're conceding goals, you're losing, like, 3-4 points kind of thing, but, per player, you're actually losing probably six, I think it's 6-7, or something like that. However, if they keep a clean sheet, that's a guaranteed 35 points extra I'm going to get from those two players. So it's boom or bust, but to win cards, sometimes you have to be a wee bit boom or bust. So we'll see how that rolls. But yep, my planning's going according to plan, heading towards the winter. I was counting up, there's going to be another 6 game weeks before most of these leagues go into hibernation for anything between 4 weeks and 4 months. As you know, between like Scotland's coming back, you know, right before Christmas, and then you've got Russia coming back 3 months later. So it'll be interesting to see what impact it does have on the market, as we mentioned last week. But it's going to be fun looking ahead.
Yeah, do you know what? It's a very good point that you say that. And I had a wee inquiry this week, and it's just something that we should probably just touch on, because there'll be lots of guys thinking this. So this kind of came into my messages on Twitter, and it's a guy that I speak to all the time, really good lad, and he basically had said, and I'll leave his name away from it, just because obviously if he is rebuilding or thinking about rebuilding his gallery, I don't want people to inflate prices, but basically he was saying, look, I've got two really strong teams that he's been running in Challenger and Global. Now, we're talking about players that, he's got a couple of guys that play for Zenit, you know, and they're worth a lot of cash.
Yeah.
And he'd basically been saying, look, you know, should I sell up the under-23s and a couple of these guys that I've got for Zenit and sink it all into MLS for next season, i.e. buying the elite of the MLS? Any thoughts? And, you know, he's like, I'm wanting to plan it out on Excel. So this will be a scenario that I'm guessing there'll be a percentage of the community right now that is buying up MLS and the top Asian cards, you know, left, right and centre. And they'll be selling off, not at peak as such, but they'll be selling off some of their European cards or some of their surplus cards for what you would probably perceive as quite good sort of value, even in the current marketplace. So there'll be guys that are doing that actively that have probably been around for a few years now. But there's also going to be the flip of the coin, where there's guys that are, you know, like you, you've built your League Two side so you can contest and play over winter. So I kind of went back and said, look, I'm going to look at this properly, but for me, there's pros and cons, obviously. And my initial thoughts, and I'll ask yours just in a second as well. But for me, what I didn't want to see them do was basically ship the lot of the Europeans and the 23s out and fully invest in the MLS. Because first and foremost, after November in the playoffs, you're going to be sitting completely idle. Do you know what I mean? And I'm talking completely idle. So I'm not convinced that if you sold all your cards and all you had was, say, stuff that you could put in like the academy or something for 3 or 4 months, I'm not convinced that you actually wouldn't get to the point where you just want to sell up. And just, you know, it's like, right, well, I can't wait any longer. And the problem you've got is that probably for maybe, say, 4 to 6 weeks out of that 3-4 month break, the prices are going down. We've seen it. We've talked about it on this pod so many times. And that first 5-6 weeks, the prices will go rock bottom. Until then, it becomes the anticipation of, oh, the European leagues are coming to a close. and Russia and, you know, America and sort of the Asian leagues and things like that. They're coming back. So my thoughts, and I've not, as I say, went fully back to them with a sort of full recommendation yet, but I don't think it's something that I would recommend. And I basically said to him, look, why don't you look at maybe a couple of stacks to keep yourself playing? Because quite simply, as I say, the break is just too long. What do you think?
Yeah, I did this last year. So I did this last, what, October time, maybe November time, where I started to buy. I'm just actually, you know what, I'm actually looking on Surreal Data right now, trying to find where I went and bought all my Asia cards, because I did the very same thing. There we go. 14th of November was when I started doing it. And I did. I went and picked up some pretty big players. And it was for the reason that you were able to buy them at the bottom end of the market. Because once you know, their season's done, like you say, I'm not too sure when the season's going to actually be starting back. I think it's probably, MLS is probably going to be late March, because now there's no, they're not having to condense their season because of the World Cup. You know, so they're not going to be starting as early. And I think normally it's about, because when we first started on this, Russ, it was the, I invested on the 29th of March, and it was a week later that the MLS started. So that would put it about April time. So like you say, if you were to go and buy a full squad of MLS cards just now, you are going to be sat on them for 5 long months with nothing else to play, you know, if you did it that way. I would only suggest doing, you know, doing it to the extent of still having a basic team to put into All-Star, at least, to keep your interest. I did it that late, Russ, and I made a lot of money off of my Asia cards. There's no two ways about it. I really did, because I'd picked up, I mean, I got Sugeno, Russ, on the 1st of December for 0.03 ETH and a card that was worth 0.04 at the time. So I literally paid 0.07 for Sugeno, and I think I sold him for about 500, 600 quid. So, you know, you were looking at some serious price for some of these cards. Fukumori, there's another example. I paid £150 for him and he sold for £500. So it is a good idea. It's just being able to sit and hold those cards. Now, that was a much shorter window, Russ. That was only, what, 2 months from December to February, when they were all kind of restarting again in Asia. That was okay to sit and do that for a couple of months, because my Austrian lads were exactly the same. They were sitting in a limbo for that same time period. But it's a long, long time to sit with no action. I think, like you say, the boredom would set in and you'd maybe become a bit more disillusioned and you'd probably miss it, and you'd end up selling the players into the low end of the market to go and buy some other ones. So if you can afford to sit and hold some cards while still playing away, absolutely go for it. Just do your research, make sure you're getting the best possible deal for your players. But that's when you're also going to have to look. I mean, Asia is going to be a bit more tricky, Russ, because a lot of those teams, it's a yearly contracts that a lot of them are on. And that's due to league regulations, I believe, if I remember rightly from last season. So trying to make sure you're getting somebody that's still in contract would be a difficulty. Obviously, if you're bringing in elite players, especially now that the second tiers in Europe are there, because as I mentioned, I think it was on last week, so maybe the week before, like that, was it Ao Tanaka? He was one of the top players in the J League, and he suddenly went to the second tier in Germany and was unusable. Whereas now that's probably going to be less of an issue, because you can actually go to these leagues and still play, and you'll probably still get a princely sum for those cards. But yeah, it's something that I did last season. I would advocate doing it only if you can afford to have that sitting there dead in your gallery for 3-4 months. But the one thing I wouldn't suggest doing it with, Russ, and I'm going to hazard a guess that you're going to say exactly the same, I don't know what substantial increase you would get in price if you were doing it with limited, because by that point, they're still going to be getting minted all winter long. And then by the time you get to the start of their season, you know, how many is going to be there versus, you know, 600-700 cards. So the supply versus demand, just a standard thing there. But if it's the rares and you can afford to do it, I don't see why not. Do you know what I mean? You could probably pick up like a Hani Mukhtar for maybe, even if it's 75% of his full price, because it's the end of the season and people are selling them to then go and buy, you know, like what we, you know, some
World
of these
Cup cards or something. Yeah,
yeah. World Cup cards, second tier cards, especially if they need the goalkeeper, because the prices are insane for a lot of the goalkeepers in the second tiers. But yeah, you know, if you're able to pick that up and sit on it, that's a substantial chunk of profit you could pull back in, you know, February, March when it starts to ramp back up again. So,
I just had a wee look there. The Galaxy and LAFC have announced that they are opening the 2023 MLS season at the Rose Bowl on February the 25th.
Really?
That's
earlier than I was expecting, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a wee bit earlier than what I was expecting. Now, there's also the fact that there's the expansion. There's St. Louis. I think St. Louis has been announced as one of the teams, and I think there's three or four other teams that are in contention. I think there's Las Vegas and Phoenix, and I can't honestly remember. I'm sure there was another team. I think, is it Sacramento? I think.
I genuinely can't remember. I have looked at it in the past, because I'm sure is it not Kevin Trapp signed for one of them, for one of the teams, or some? There is a German goalkeeper that I feel like has signed for one of these teams, and the boy Klaus striker, he signed for one of the expansion teams as well, for next summer or for next year as well. But yeah, that's fine, you know. But even at that's still going to be towards the end of February, beginning of March, you know. So you are looking still from when the season's going to be finished. For some of these teams, the season's going to be finished in 2 weeks' time.
Do you know what? And that's one of the things that I was speaking of as well, just it diverses off the topic slightly, but obviously that's a situation where there's a guy with, I think roughly we looked at it and we valued his gallery round about, it would be about 5 ETH if he sold, you know, the Zenit cards and some of the 23s and things. Now, for me, I think realistically, you could probably actually build a pretty good European team that maybe plays, you know, both at the weekend and midweek in the European competitions. And probably he would probably have an ETH or a 1.5 ETH that he could sink in to the MLS and pick up, like a, you know, a Mukhtar, you know, Wagner, Sifuentes, Iglesias, Rheingold, you know, whatever sort of floats your boat there, that there will be available for substantially less than sort of peak or sort of middle of the summer. But you've also got the thought process, and I was speaking to a guy, and he's only been playing, I would say maybe about 3 months, and he's just bought his first few rare cards. Now, there'll be obviously guys that listen to this that are fully limited, they're dabbling with the game, they're developing their galleries, they're developing their understanding of how players score and basically how Surreyor operate in relation to prizes and the sort of fluctuations and things. And he's bought his first few rare cards. I think he's bought three. And I said, well, there's two ways of looking at this. You can either do two things, because he doesn't want to plough hundreds in. And having been shopping for keepers, having bought three in the last 10 days, like you say, they're extortionate just now. There's a few keepers that you can get for around about 400, 500 quid in Europe. But there are guys like Sammy Bossett who, you know, they're bottom of the league. Louis Boyston, I've had him myself, is bound to get that shirt back at some point, not just because of, they're obviously letting in goals, but obviously Sammy Bossett's about 37 or 38 years old now. And there are three or four cards that there's always been that every season, you know, it was Van Osh and Lamprou the season and Van Hamel the season before. And now there's these guys that are this season again that are just looking like, you know, you don't want to go and spend 0.3, even though he's the current number one, because you're like, shit, he could lose that any week now, you know? And the backup keeper's not, you know, gone are the days, unfortunately, where most of the backup keepers you were able to pick up for, say, anything between sort of like £50 and £100. The backup keepers are now £150 to £200. And that's a lot of outlay for guys that are building teams off of maybe £300 all in, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And what I was saying was that, okay, I think there's two routes realistically to look at here. And one would be to build like what you've done, maybe second division teams, where the you know the guys are going to be playing between now and, I'm talking short term, I'm talking between now and December 31st. To pick up cards that you know are going to have loads of games. So it's either got to be realistically for that sort of mid-November, December period, guys that are in international teams. So just purely as an example, only because of hold-up, the guy, say, Samuel Piette, that plays for Canada and Montreal. So he's, you know, he's cheap. He's about 0.005, something like that just now. So it's got to be guys that are actually in national squads or that are going to play like in your second division. But if you get enough of them, you could look at either an underdog team without the goalkeeper, or you put four of them in and you get your rare keeper, ideally somebody that's a number two that's got a chance. You know, I wouldn't go as far as buying like any rare keeper just to play it to try and get the threshold, because if someone's retired or if, you know, someone is playing like, I don't know, in the Thailand Premier that's never going to get launched or, you know, something like that. But I think if you get look at either the thresholds, if you're moving into the rares, get four red cards that are actually really good scorers, and maybe pick up a keeper. I don't know. It's just I'm looking and trying to think of how best to keep the guys at sort of the entry level or the newer players involved all the way through, you know, sort of the World Cup period.
Yeah, it's kind of like looking back at the summer with me. I mean, obviously I made the decision that I was just going to invest into the European cards, which meant I didn't have anything for 2 months. And over those 2 months, what I did was I went and got my limiteds, didn't I? And I had some good success with them, because that's all I was focusing on, was just having those sitting there. And I was doing away fine. So I don't know, for some of the guys that are, you know, going to have most of these tied up, and whether it is, you know, like you say, Belgium, Scotland or what have you, and they're going to be down for a few weeks, is sinking 20 or 30 quid into picking up a team a viable option to at least have something to keep you entertained, you know, in the underdog, because you don't need to go and get the goalkeeper. And then you could sell them and take your money back out for it after the World Cup. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be tough for some. It definitely is going to be tough for some. And I think it's shown certainly in the prices that these Spanish cards have been going for has been quite high. When you find a decent card and you're watching them and you see the price going through the roof, last weekend, Russ, I must have had about a list of about 25 cards over the course of last weekend that were going through. And I'd set myself kind of where I thought my maximum price was going to be, because I think, especially when you're playing in the auctions, you have to be mindful of how much you're actually spending. So I thought, right, let's have a look, set a cap. Some of these caps were getting blown away. I think I said to you, there was, you know, obviously a 38-year-old midfielder selling for 0.085 or 0.09. And you're looking, that's like 110, 120 quid for a, you know, a 38-year-old midfielder, regardless if he's playing well just now. You know what? You know, do the legs last all season? You know, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And it's also been reflected. I mean, I think two of the goalkeepers that have been released in that league, I think one of them, I sent you over a screenshot with no context to it and just said, look at the price this keeper's going. And it was like 1.5 ETH he was going for. And it turns out he's actually the number one rated goalkeeper in all of Serie A now. Because I think Burgos, I don't think he's conceded in 7 games. Something insane like that, but he's on like a 70 odd average for a goalkeeper, and it's pretty bonkers. I'm going to get called out for having the wrong numbers on that, Russ, so I'll quickly bring it up, but it is insane what they're going for. So it is pricing a lot of people out of playing the rares, unless they have pre-planned, you know, well ahead of time. Russ, I wasn't lying, 76 for his last 5 and 69 for his last 15. So, yeah, that's, you know, it's quite an incredible price that he's actually going for, but it's incredible scores he's getting at the same time. But, you know, it's going to be hard to keep some people engaged, I would definitely say.
It's a big test, isn't it, for Solaire?
It's going to be a big test. I think it's lucky in the sense that you've got, you know, there's a lot of leagues like Scotland, you're only looking at 4 weeks. 4 weeks. It's they come
Same
back
with
in the
Turkey,
fifth.
isn't it?
And then, but, you know, some of the leagues coming back at Christmas time, and, you know, Turkey, and you've obviously got France and Belgium and the Netherlands, you know, so there's a lot of teams are coming back Christmas, New Year time. So it's not a devastatingly, you know, end of season period. But for some of the leagues, if you're sat with a lot of Austrian lads, like I potentially would have been up until a few, you know, a couple of months ago, I'd have been sat with 3 months in activity. And that's, as you say, it's a lot of money to have tied up. I mean, I'm sitting with Sahin Radlinger and I'm actively shopping him at the moment. And it's not for any reason. I actually think he's a good goalkeeper. Yeah, he had two games where he's conceded three. One was Salzburg, one was Austria Vienna. But his scores before that have been really solid. He was averaging in the 50s. But I'm looking at it and I'm like, 13th of November, right the way through to mid-February. You know, you're talking 3 full months with nothing. And it's just too much. It's just too much. I'd rather, do you know what? I know you said it in a message. And to be honest, I've actually been looking at picking up a second division goalkeeper because I was like, well, if I do that, I could play the two teams right through. I could play the second division, blah, blah, blah. But I seen the prize pool today and that's going to put the brakes on that a wee bit. So I'd probably want to look for another challenger one. But if I was going to be honest, I was actually looking at the likes of a Ross Laidlaw just to tide me up, you know, to get me back into it in December. But then the worry is, you know, how many goals are they going to ship to Celtic and Rangers? And, you know,
does
he get dropped?
Don't do it, Chris. Don't
do
it.
No, I know. But it's, I mean, I'm just using it as an example, though. It's if I get a big sale, I've got one of my strikers up for sale just now. If I sell him and Sahin Radlinger, in theory, I could probably go and look at, you know,
Kelly.
Liam Kelly again.
Yeah.
Or as I say, just biting the bullet and playing second tier for 2 months. It's no big deal in doing that either.
Do you know what? I sat at lunchtime today, Chris.
Fondling yourself?
Sorry?
Fondling yourself?
Perhaps. However, what I also did was I had
one
my
hand
phone
or two.
Both hands. Come on.
One for the microscope. That's okay. You've changed.
Not for you've the better. Changed. Okay. So I sat at lunchtime and you're tired, aren't you? You're
I'm tired.
You need a wee rest, aren't you?
In the words of CM Punk a couple of weeks ago, I'm tired, I'm hurt, and I work with fucking children. So there we go. Yeah.
Okay. So we sit here on a budget here needing a wee handout. No, what I was doing, I was actually with one of the manager guys that I introduced to the game, and he's actually sat with about 0.8 just now, just sitting. He sold Liam Kelly, and we were actually looking at goalkeepers at lunchtime today, and it was a case of I was kind of hopeful that I would have been in a position to be shopping for one final goalkeeper, but he was actually actively looking, and we actually sat today, and the goalkeeper options is really, really tricky at the moment. As I say, beforehand, we've both been pretty much of the mentality of the safety net. Buy the number one, get the number two. If you know, it was so cheap to get the number two that if they got dropped, it wasn't a disaster. You could then make a decision. And I think more often than not, actually, when a number two got in as a number one, we would actually sell both keepers and just move on to the next one and, you know, rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
But we're looking today, and we both came to the conclusion that it really wasn't sort of an option or viable to actually buy because it was just taking up all his ETH. So one of the things that we did look at today, and we might cover it probably a bit more time next week, but it was actually, we just went through the World Cup keepers. So all the keepers that are at the World Cup, but that were also potentially in either champion or challenger for the European, as opposed to, you know, sort of like the America's keepers and the Asian keepers and things. But one of the guys that, and you know, we decided he wasn't going to buy him. He was just a bit too expensive and out of budget. But one of the best sort of value keepers could potentially be the boy Schmidt at STVV, because he seems to have the Japan shirt. He's played the last two games. It was obviously ex Dundee United Kawashima that's beaten in the goal there recently. But yeah, so Daniel Schmidt, I'm kind of looking, thinking, right, okay, well, he could feature at the World Cup, and then he could also, obviously, straight after the World Cup, be back in with the Belgian League, you know, really, really quickly. So you know, that off the top of my head, there was him that seemed quite a good option, and then Muslera at Galatasaray, who plays for Uruguay. You know, that was another option. Again, he was a wee bit more expensive as well, but there are options out there for goalkeepers, but it's really cutthroat at the moment. And it's just quite difficult. So I think, yeah, just looking at the sort of the overall picture, it's a test for Surrey. In my opinion, this is a test for Surrey to keep maximum engagement, keep maximum people playing. Let's see what they come up with. To be fair, they certainly keep spinning lots of plates and trying to bring out new things. I think the liquidity in the, you know, we've both pretty much left the limited market. I'm down to 4 cards now, finally. I actually gave 3 cards away this week. I was just like, picked random people and I picked a couple of boys that, and you know what, I knew they'd signed up through me. And, you know, no incentive, there was no prior warning. I was like, just take a card. Do you know what I'm taking a card? It was worth like £2 or something, or £10 or £5. I'm going to keep one card. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep the card. I'm just going to get them up in my gallery here at the moment. And the card I'm going to keep, Chris, is a Spanish striker. And I hope he joins your beloved Andorra FC or something. But Miguel Berry, I signed 5 months ago. Now, he was in quite good form last season and he did score quite a lot of goals. And Miguel Berry, I signed at the time for 0.018 ETH for my limited strike force, which was £43. And honestly, if I was to put him on the market right now, I wouldn't be able to get £3 for him. Yeah. And I'm going to keep that card as a stark reminder to never, for me personally, it's just me, to never enter the limited market again. Now, that's just my opinion on it, but like you said, there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of cards out. Yes, you will get offers on cards and things, but it seems to be at the really, really, really low end. And for me now, the decision has been made. I've completely parked the yellow cards for good for me. And it really is just a case of rares, trading some rares. I'm going to get back into trading. I think what I'd like to do, and I think you've got a wee limited exercise you want to do this week, but in more affluent times, I think what would be quite good would be that we both maybe look at a wee rare challenge where we're going against each other, but not to the sort of extreme point that we're spending all week on it, but that we both maybe do just to prove that we can show people good players and we can actually make people, you know, and show profit.
Yeah.
So I think you were going to do something on was it limited or just a quickly limited challenge?
Do you know what? It was just on the note we kind of spoke about a couple of weeks ago. Just obviously the fact that we were selling out the limiteds and why and things like that. But then I did start to think about, you know, obviously we do have a lot of people who listen and, you know, are playing on a much smaller budget than what we've been fortunate enough to play with. So I was having a look and I was like, do you know what? I wonder if any of these, you know, Spanish teams, I can find 4 players all under 50 and get them all for £20 or less, maybe 25, 30, an absolute push. Mm-hmm. And just set them in the underdog league every single week.
And with just the common keeper?
Yeah, common keeper. I'm not going to buy common the keeper. Goalkeeper. It's just going to be 4 outfield players. Mm-hmm. I have looked through the top 4 teams and unsurprisingly, it's not really possible with those teams. But I'll probably find, you know, a kind of a Zaragoza or something like that, you know, a team that's kind of mid-table, or they're kind of all mid-table because, quite frankly, the league's really close. You know, even the ones at the top, I think it's really only the bottom couple of teams like Malaga and that are kind of adrift at the moment. The rest of them are fairly, you know, fairly tight. But I think it was just a wee idea. I thought, if I put it in, see what happens, and then we could just do maybe a wee, you know, return on investment as we go and just be like, look, here's the initial investment. It was exactly £25. And, you know, let's look and see where it gets over the course of, say, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. And that would actually take us up to, you know, this cutoff for the international break. And if it's something that's paying back, if it's paid for itself with, you know, a couple of half-decent rewards, then you know, I've not, I won't lose anything, because if push comes to shove, if I sell them all for 15 quid, okay, I've lost 5 quid. I'll have made that back off of one rare trade, you know, over and over again.
Okay.
So it was just a wee idea I had. I don't know, like I say, I mean, looking at the league table just now, there's 5 points from 13th to 1st. And then there's five right. points from 14th to 22nd. So right, it's okay. it's a very close league still. So I could probably pick any of these teams and just find, you know, Russ, I was actually right, the goalkeeper for Burgos, 7 games, 0 goals conceded. But on the flip side, they've also only scored 2. So it's 2 wins and 5 nil-nils is what they've had. I was just something as I was driving about, to be honest, driving about at work, and it's driving me mad. And I'm just like, you know, wee things pop into your head. And I thought, do you know what? What would be the harm in using my threshold from this week and just doing something like that?
Fair Nothing enough. Really. So is that next week, are you going to come up with a team?
I'll try and get it in for this weekend, and I'll put it up on the pod Twitter account just to say, this is what I've picked and this is what I'm going with. And we'll just keep an eye on it. See what happens over the next, as I say, the next 4 to 6 weeks. I don't intend on making any changes to it unless somebody's injured or they've gone over the 50. If they do that, then fine. I'll sell the higher one, but I'm not going to put any more investment into that. Once I've got it for the 25, 30 quid, that's it. And if it ends up, I've been able to, you know, sell a card for more, it means I could buy a higher one, but I'm not going to allow any more money than, you know, what I've allocated to it, basically. So I'll just see what happens, eh? And like you say, I think it would be quite interesting for us to maybe do something like, you know, I think you'd mentioned it just before we came on, maybe like 0.1 for underdog rare or something like that, and see what we could build.
I think it's probably feasible for guys that are coming in to play rare as opposed to limited. I think most guys that are, you know, certainly even from like your own conversations and things, whether it's online or with people in person, you know, anytime I've spoke to people about rare, and certainly since the sort of the underdog side of things and the common keeper hasn't been able to be used in the threshold for the all-star, I've said, look, do you know what? You're going to need 200 quid minimum. So maybe if we both come up with, purely for the purpose of using in underdog, but mm-hmm. we can also measure it, how it would perform in global. So yeah. just be one team. And if we basically go on the provision of whatever £200 is in ETH, what's that, about 1.6 maybe?
0.16, sorry. It's about 1250, so yeah, it's probably about that.
Yeah, so say we build outfield players, 4 outfield players, European teams for 0.16 each, and we bring them next week. And do you know what? We'll build 2 teams. We'll track it, basically, we'll put them into underdog, obviously, for the, you know, because there is no common keeper, rather than buying an actual keeper. And we'll just track on, basically, their performance. And we'll see if there's any weeks that, the 4 of them managed to scrape more than 205 or 250 points, and here's what you could have won type yeah. scenario. But again, it's maybe just a wee bit of a measuring tool for guys, just to see how feasible, you know, getting a team and things is.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. Well, I think I'm pretty much out of Sareer topics, Russ. Will we have a wee look ahead to the Scottish weekend fixtures? And obviously maybe recap a wee bit of the Scotland adventures in the Nations League, since we are obviously the top of the home nations these days.
We are top of the home nations these days. Just, I'm not going to say too much on it. You know, obviously if you're a Wales supporter, or you know, a Welshman, or you're English, and you know, you've just seen your team's been relegated. I don't think anybody, let's be honest, I wouldn't have expected England to be relegated at the start of their campaign. There seems to be quite a lot of sort of issues there at the moment in relation to Southgate, team selections, squad selections. Gareth clearly doesn't rate certain players. Wales, don't think I've got the same problems as such. I think they just lack the depth of sort of quality across the squad. You know, every so often it's like 2 new guys are pulled from like League One or the Championship that have never been capped before, that have, you know, that have been disclosed as Welsh. in their squads, but they've obviously got some really good quality at the top end. They've got like that sort of three or four really, really great players that seem to help get them to tournaments and things that we're not there. But for us, just a few highlights. Obviously, for me, Aaron Hickey's emergence on the right back area. You know, he had three superb games for me. It's obviously benefiting him playing in the Premier League. He's obviously benefited as well from his spell in Italian football. Very clever player. You could see he was excellent on the ball. For me, I think he nudges ahead of Nathan Patterson for the right back spot. That, but you know, if it was me picking the team, it's not me that picks the team for Scotland, but if it was, I'd have Hickey slightly ahead of Patterson. Jack Henry was immense in the games, really sort of came of age, I feel, with that little sort of three-game spell. A few disappointments for me. Kenny McLean, very much a, you know, sort of, not a journeyman, that's probably a bit harsh, but, you know, just always, you know, he just seems to lack. I know he scored the penalty, and I know that he's obviously scored one or two goals, but for me, I just think we've got better midfield options. Him and Ryan Jack last night, it was kind of sort of basic and wasn't overly impressed with either of them. I thought Greg Taylor kind of struggled as well. Not really convinced by him at left back. And I know he's been playing well for Celtic. There's no doubt about that. But when it comes to international football, I'm not convinced on him. And the final point that I would make on the Scotland team, obviously it was they've got a really good sort of team ethic there as well. But Che Adams, once again, just... That guy does some amount of running, and you know, I sometimes see on the Scotland sort of Twitter and things like that, guys slating him, and I'm like, you know, he's a 20 million striker for a reason. Do you know what I mean? Compared to say some of the other Scotland strikers that you'd maybe value at 2 or 3 million, Adams is a clever player. He's a fantastic player. So the only thing that I hope that comes from this is that Mr. Elliot Anderson of Newcastle United, that's been in and out of that Scotland under 21 squad and has been touted a few times for England 21s and things. He was born in England, but he's obviously represented Scotland. I hope he now sees sense and wants to do everything to do with an A.
Yeah, do you know what? I was quite impressed with the squad as a whole. We were obviously both a little bit after, you know, looking at the first game and we seen the lineup and we were both questioning it. And then, you know, the three games, I think defensively they've been very good. Craig Gordon rolling back the years. I posted on my Facebook page earlier today. I genuinely think Craig Gordon could save the pound. He literally was just imperious. And, you know, his son gets born and he comes back and plays against Ireland and then goes away to Poland. You know, I can't imagine my missus if I'd have just said, here, by the way, I know the baby's just been born, but I'm off ski. You know, but you know, he was serving his country, I suppose. But I thought on the whole, even especially the makeshift team last night for the against Ukraine, I thought, you know, obviously I had my thoughts and I still have my thoughts about Ryan Portis. I still don't think he's that great. He played well last night, well done. But I'm far from convinced he's not an international player. I'm sorry, he really isn't. He has one good game. Let's see if he can actually keep his temperament and actually do that on a regular. If he did that in the league on a regular basis and kept his temperament and wasn't a total cunt, then maybe he wouldn't get booed when his name gets announced on the lineups at Hampden. So yeah, we'll wait and see on that one. But I thought Jack Henry was fantastic. Him and McKenna at the back when they were both playing together were fantastic as well. So yeah, it was very good. And a special mention for John McGinn's arse, I think, Russ. And it's heading its way into the Hall of Fame. 50 caps for John McGinn's arse and the rest of John McGinn as well, I suppose, but primarily his arse. Just loves backing into boys like that, doesn't he? Just for the first goal against Ukraine where he just turned the guy by backing into him. He does it all the time. So yeah, it was quite fun.
It's quite just one final point. It's just actually for years, obviously, you know, when we compared Scotland to England and obviously England get into all the major tournaments and then every so often Scotland would pop up at a tournament and things, but the cap difference between England and Scotland was, you know, always, it was bonkers. You know what I mean? Like you've got all these England guys, you know, that have, you know, the sort of Beckham, Gerrard, sort of Shiltons, all them that have got over the 100 caps. And obviously Scotland's only got Kenny Dalglish that broke the 100. But you know, last night I was looking at the caps, and other than sort of Kyle Walker, Kane, and Sterling, the England squad is, you know, primarily it's all under 25 caps. And Scotland's now got this, you know, like Robertson's got, I think, 57 caps. We've got McGinn that's just broke the 50. We've got Callum McGregor that's next cap will be his 50th cap. So you'd expect him probably to get the captain the side and lead them out on his next appearance. That's kind of traditional. It seems to happen for the Scotland squad. But we've also got this whole heap of guys like, you know, Stuart Armstrong and that are well into the sort of 35 to 40 caps. So we've got quite a lot of experience, but not everybody's, for once, we're not heading to this where everybody's 35 years of age and got this cap. And obviously you've got like Craig Gordon, who's well into 70 caps now and who is coming to the sort of the twilight of his career. But yeah, it's interesting times. You know, it's almost fairy tale stuff for us being sort of Scottish, and after, you know, 20 years of nothing, to finally have a team that's actually winning games, drawing games, can grind out results. We've got some good young players that are actually exciting, that are promising, and we've not had that since, let's be honest, we've not had that since McFadden. When McFadden broke through and all of a sudden we had this iconic sort of hero that we could worship, that could actually beat a man and waltz past 2-3 players. We've not had that for so long.
Yeah.
And we did flirt with it with Maloney, you know, kind of slightly generationally after. We kind of flirted with that. But yeah, it's a good time to be a Scotland fan again. And I'm not a huge Steve Clarke fan, you know, and obviously he's so media unfriendly. I actually just look in here, as we record this on video, obviously, and I'm looking here thinking, do you actually look a little bit like Steve Clarke?
I need a better follicle per square inch to my mustache and beard, Russ. Because when he was getting interviewed last night, Louise was like,
Was she going to bed dreaming that she was with Steve Clarke?
No, she was just said, Christy, you know, like, give you another few years. And I was like, my mustache won't grow as thick as that. I'm sorry, it just won't.
Anyway, that's us. Quick review of the teams.
Yeah, well, we'll quickly just have a nosy at the fixtures for the weekend there, Russ, just for the Premier League. Obviously, it kicks off early on Saturday with Hearts hosting Rangers. So I think that'll be a massive game, obviously. All the games, interestingly, are actually all on Saturday this week. So there's no kind of, you know, Sunday games. So it's 12:30 kickoff, Hearts against Rangers on Sky. I don't know what to make of that, Russ. That could be one that goes either way.
Well, I think, do you know what, we did touch on these games, obviously before the international break, very briefly. We kind of did look at them and things, sort of looked at how we would score them and things. But for me, just obviously, there's been, Hearts are still, you know, a bit light on bodies and still kind of tight on the injury side. But Rangers obviously haven't been firing all cylinders, so I really do, you know, anything could kind of happen in that game. And
totally.
It's too hard to predict.
Celtic hosting Motherwell. Kevin Van Veen's actually in my underdog team this week. I didn't see the point putting him in any of the other ones because
that's a home win.
No, it's a home win and it could be a long afternoon. Yeah. I might hang on for that Liam Kelly till after that game, Russ.
Yeah, I'm for about 0.48 after Saturday night.
Yeah, I hope so. Aberdeen hosting Kilmarnock. That's Derek McInnes going back to Pittodrie. So that'll be interesting as well. I think Aberdeen should have enough about them. But hey, the old boss coming back to play, you know, that's one way they can get the team motivated for.
Yeah, definitely.
Ross County hosting Hibs. Hibs obviously with that coming off the back of that big win against Aberdeen. County having their struggles this season, you could probably say. I don't see it being a big, massive scoreline because obviously, you know, like Martin Boyle's been away to Australia and things like that. So it's a long week and a bit. But hey, I would still think Hibs have got enough about them.
Yeah, definitely.
Joe Newell in my challenger team this week as well. At the moment,
I think you should keep Joe Newell. I think Joe Newell's going to turn into a really, really shrewd acquisition for you.
His scores are very, very good. And I got him for 0.08.
Plays every game.
Which was £100 on the nose. And I think that's really good value because he was effectively who I bought to replace Zeynep Dinov, and I paid less than half of what I paid for what I got for Zeynep Dinov. Dundee United hosting St Johnstone, Russ. We've obviously spoken about Nicky Clark's hat trick. I think United might sneak that one, Russ. I think United might sneak that one.
I think it could be quite tight. I maybe see either a score draw or maybe a 2-1 victory either way. Obviously, United's got a new manager appointed since we last did the pod. Liam Fox got the job full time. Yeah, assistant head coach.
They went cheap and cheerful. So they went from ASOS to Primark, I believe. Wow. And then the final game would be St Mirren hosting Livingston. So St Mirren obviously coming off the back of the win against Celtic. So surely that means it's going to be 3-0 Livingston.
Yeah, probably.
That's how it works in the Scottish League. It really does. So, yeah, I think that'll be quite interesting. And obviously, we've kind of rambled a wee bit tonight. We're both tired. It's been long days and things. So, apologies if we've lost you halfway through and you've had to come back and regroup and listen to the second half later. But, you know, c'est la vie. Have you got anything else you want to add to the episode, Russ?
No, just that next week we'll obviously do this. We'll come up with the teams for 0.16 roughly, based on roughly like this weekend's prices. I'm not expecting Ethereum to go crazy in either direction. But yeah, I think we'll put together roughly a team each for £200, four rare cards that we can look at underdog. And yeah, that'll be something to kind of talk about as well at the early stages of the pod. Rather than, you know, I know that we're aware that we speak about our game weeks and things and stuff, but if we're looking at these, it'll maybe just give something different for people to listen to.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So on that note, I will let you all go. It's been an interesting episode, and take care, guys, and we'll speak to you all again soon.